Welcome to A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to My Life. This is the place to be for stories to inspire and uplift when life doesn't go according to our plans. I'm Laura Muirhead, your host and the reigning queen of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to My Life. I can't wait to share the plot twist stories of my guests that will inspire and uplift you when life didn't follow the plan, right here on A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to My Life podcast. Hello, and welcome to this episode of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to My Life. I'm Laura Muirhead, your host, and I am so happy to be joined today by my guest, Trudy Malins.
Well, hello, and thank you for letting me be here, Laura. Great.
So, Trudy, come and tell us where you are in the world and what do you do?
Well, I am in the UK. Literally by Heathrow Airport, and just as we speak, here comes an aeroplane. I'm sure you could hear. And I have stepped into my magic. I'm a maker of many things, and magic is one of them. That's right at the top of the list.
I love it. So Trudy and I know each other a bit through some online things, through different groups and different programs that we've been in. And currently we are both speakers in the upcoming Women Lighting the Way Summit. And I've gotten to know Trudy a bit through that. And I just love her. So what a funny thing happened on the Way to My Life story do you have for us?
Oh, there's just so many. I went absolutely blank. Mostly, I have no privacy in the shower. Is usually when, I'm like, really? Just really? And then I'm like, the spirit, they really don't care, because clearly they don't care. I'm in my shower. But the funniest thing, I knit and crochet. My passion, I love to do it. And I've got crystals and my tarot cards and my bits and pieces, my trinkets that my nieces and my kids give me over the years. So I thought, I want to create a space. So I made myself, it almost looks like an infinity sign, and I crocheted it, and it's black, white, and purple. Really, I was like, looking for all my knitting, because I have a cupboard full of wool. Grabbed it out, and I thought, oh, my sister would really like something like this. She's always going, will you make me a mandala? Will you make me a mandala? And every time I've gone to make her a mandala, something else has come up. So anyway, so I was crocheting. I thought, oh, my sister would like this. And I just hear loud and clear, nope. And it was so loud, I actually looked over my shoulder, right? I was like, okay. So I whispered it. I'm going to make my sister one of these. And I'm going to make it in red. I like red. Nope. And I'm looking, right? And I'm thinking, okay. Clear. It's not me, because I'm in the house on my own. So I thought, I finished mine and I looked at it and I thought, yep, I'm going to go and find the colours for my sister that I want, the different colours. So first of all, I started with the blue and I was, nah, that's not right. So I'm pulling out all my wool and I'm looking at it. And just as I put all my bits on it, I thought, yeah, my sister's going to love something like that. I get, that spiral right there, that's not for your sister. I was like, and this is all in my head. And sometimes I actually think I'm going a bit bonkers because it's all in my... I was like, right, okay then. So that's not for my sister, right. And that's it. I'm now in a frenzy looking for a pattern for her, something that's simple, because she's got a bowl in her clinic and at home, and she's got crystals and a little Buddha and what have you. I get all my wool out, and as I go in for the red, I hear Buddha doesn't like red, just like that, real snippy. But I was like, see you. I said, is it Buddha doesn't like red, or perhaps it's not you? He went, goes quiet, so you can hear the tumbleweed. Now, this argument's going on in my head, and I'm like, are you seriously arguing with one of Buddha's best mates right now? So I goes quiet, and he goes, okay, maybe it's that he doesn't like it. Maybe it's just that red is not for your sister. Go and find your teal wool. And that's it. I'm now looking for my teal wool. I'm like, really, you're that specific? And yeah, then I told my sister, she absolutely cracked up. I was literally going to see her in 3 days' time. Couldn't find the pattern. takes me 2 hours to get to my sister. I'm in the car crocheting like a mad woman. We pull up outside our house. I put the final stitch in, tied it off, and I handed it to her. And she's looked at me and she went, that's one of the blues in my colour. Because Claire, I can't pronounce her surname, did her colours for her and did her, her branding, gave her some advice on her branding. And she went, that is the exact mid colour of my branding. I said, listen, mate, you don't know the trials and tribulations that I've had over the last 3 days trying to make you something. And then she said, but I thought you were going to make me. I went, oh, we're not talking about spiral. I said, I was making you a spiral, and that's how the argument started. So I told her, and she was just absolutely wetting herself. And I'm like, that is just the tip of the iceberg on the daily. But yeah, I'm arguing with one of Buddha's mates. What's that all about?
No, I've seen a picture of that, of what you created, of that mandala, and it is gorgeous.
A different one. That's completely different. That, again, I just picked it. That, yeah, that's something different. I picked it up and I went, literally, it goes in my head, yeah, this one's for your sister. I haven't done anything. I've just picked the ring up and it's gone, that's for your sister. Go and find the colours. I'm like, could you stop being quite bossy? I was going to do that anyway. So, yeah. And sometimes my sister's like, do you have to argue with them? I'm like, I'm not arguing with them. I'm just telling them, chew your boots.
Oh my gosh, this is so funny to me. So, I mean, you just have like spirit guides in your head constantly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other day, because I've really kicked off with the Akashic Realm and taking people there, and I know you can look at your timelines and you can ask forward and, you know, you can see where it all is. And I was like, I wonder if, and before I could get, I thought, right, I'm going to take myself off the Akashic record. I do love a trip there. And I was going to ask them, right, okay, where do I take them for healing in the Akashic realm? Before, I mean, I literally just put my foot inside my library, just barely opened my mouth to my gate, to my guide. And he went, you know the answer is yes. Why are you even bothering? And I was like, that'll be me leaving then, will it? And they go, bye. And they literally, I'm like, okay. Even my guys are like, sort it out. You know this stuff. So, yeah, it's quite entertaining that, yeah, sometimes I think if I hadn't embraced the magic, I think I would think I was mad. But it's all good fun.
So how long has all this been happening? Like, have you experienced this all your life, or is it more since you've embraced a certain thing? Or I mean, what has your journey been?
I mean, I've been
to magic.
Wow, I was a Catholic for so long. The only magic was Jesus resurrecting from the dead. That was the only magic you were allowed to believe in. But my husband was very open and very much into the spiritual, and when it really made me start thinking Catholicism isn't all it's cracked up to be, I was doing my A-levels such a long time ago. And I was in the sixth form college and we went off on a school trip to Austria. The girls went off. And I remember waking up. Well, I don't remember. I remember it that I went up, got out of bed and stood at the window having a conversation with my then boyfriend, now husband, Philip, at the window. And I can clearly see the ladder upside, so I'm on the second story, the ladder going up to the window, and we're talking for a long conversation. I go to sleep, wake up in the morning, the girls are like, what were you doing at the window? I was like, okay, I thought I dreamt this. They went, and who on earth were you talking to? Because they could hear, but they couldn't hear the conversation. I was like, I was sick, because I used to sleepwalk all the time. I said, oh, I must have been sleepwalking. And then when I get home after about a week, my husband says, anything interesting happening? I was like, no, you know, usual thing. Girls, we went out, we did this, we did that, had a few drinks. He went, are you sure that's all that happened? And I looked at him and he went, you know what I'm talking about? I was like, no, it was a dream. He went, no, because I can tell you, he described the room. He knew what bed I was sleeping in. He knew who was in the bunk above me. And he was able to tell me my nightdress. Now, bearing in mind, I was a Catholic, so he'd never seen me in my nightdress. So that was the start of it. Right, and all these bits and pieces. Then when it really kicked off was when I had my eldest daughter. I was feeding her, sitting in a high chair, and my front room has got a door into the kitchen. or it did have, we blocked it up. And she literally turns around in her seat, points to the kitchen, goes, "Mummy, cat!" So I'm looking, I'm like, "Where's the cat, baby?" "Mummy, cat, that cat, mummy, in the sink." And I'm like, "There's nothing there, darling." "Yes, mummy, there's a cat." So I'm thinking, right, clearly she's seeing something that I can't see. I was like, "Oh, tell it to go away. I don't want cats sitting on my worktop." And this just kept, I would wake up, hear her chatting, chatting. And it's not mumbling. You can hear it's the other side of the conversation. It's clear. Then I'd go upstairs and she sat up in bed. And as soon as she seen me, she'd go, "No, no, mummy, go to sleep." And in the morning, I see old granddad, mummy. I see grampy, because grampy was my grandfather and old granddad was Phil's grandfather. And I was like, how does she know it's grampy? Because he passed away the year I met Philip and I was 18 and I'm now 30 when I've had Felicia. So she never saw him. I was like, okay. And then I got out the photographs. She went, "Oh, he's my grampy. Oh, he's old granddad." I was like, okay, this girl can see. And then it just got more and more and more. And I was with my sister, saw the Akashic Records tarot cards and picked them up. And that did my book with Bridget and Katie. And that was it. It just kick-started. And here we are. It's been a bit crazy.
So interesting. I mean, I guess if you hadn't embraced it, you'd be in the loony bin.
Yeah, I kind of nearly went to the loony bin. I swear I did. But yeah, because, and I think sometimes it makes me think, is this what people that have schizophrenia, have they got schizophrenia? Or is it spirits from the different dimensions talking to them? Are they a medium and they just don't know it? And it sends them mad because they can actually hear voices. So that's the other side of the coin that makes me go, "Ooh, yeah, I could have been one of those." Especially when I'm in the shower. Excuse me.
I've actually heard that. I've actually in the past couple of years heard people talk about that potentially people who, you know, yeah, have been diagnosed with different things that later on they are like, "No, it wasn't that. It was that we are just like mediums or spiritual or whatever it is." And so, but I could see where you would, you know, yeah, if you've got all these voices in your head, if you don't identify, I mean, yeah, if you can't identify them, then what? So,
and if you've got no one to explain it to you, it could send you mad because sometimes I'm like, "Just give me a break." And it's one after the other. And I'm like, okay, people, I'm in the shower, boundaries out. And the spirit, well, my house is like the Piccadilly Circus for the dead. Mad, there's just spirits wandering around my house all the time. I'm like, are you getting a good look? What's going on, people?
So I would imagine, I mean, it's, yeah, especially with it, not just you, it's your husband, it's your daughter, it's the whole, it's everybody.
There's a big beacon over my house. Someone sending vibes out of the spirit world. They live here.
Yeah, a big neon sign. Here's the place to go. Like you're the playhouse. Exactly. Like, you know, everybody has, you know, the one house in the neighborhood or in your friend group that's, you know, where everybody hangs out.
Yeah.
So your house is the hangout. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it just sounds crazy, but it's really quite funny because, yeah, I think things regularly go missing in my house and you're like, "Just put it back. Just please." Oh, the feather just falling out of the sky out of nowhere. No birds, no nothing. How cute. Yeah, I constantly, and you're like, "Just do me a favor, put it back." And it literally, the place you've looked, you do this and you go back and, "Oh, look, it's there." You're like, "Please." And then we can also pinpoint who it is because Phil's granddad, we call him old granddad, was a real prankster. And we're like, "Oh, granddad, please, for the love of God, just, I need my keys." And you know you've looked, you know you've looked, you tipped your handbag out. And then you're just like, "Really, please." So, yeah, it adds a little bit of what can you say? Not fun, lots of excitement. And yeah, it does. It really, sometimes when you're feeling down and something crazy happens, you're like, yeah, thanks, you've got my back, which is good.
So I've got questions. I want to go back to your crocheting.
Okay, yeah.
Because I love it. I've seen these pictures of these creations, these little cute little, I mean, some of them are cute monsters or different things. Now, what, how long have you always done that?
I have been knitting.
Oh, it's knitting.
The knitting. I do both.
Okay.
I started with knitting. I was 14, 13, 14. My granny used to knit us. She'd start in the January to knit the jumper. By the time Christmas came, because we were even like this. But I loved it. I loved that she knitted it. So she taught me how to knit. My mum helped me. And then because you had to do a practical exam back in the day, either woodwork, metalwork, cookery, sewing, or child development. But I was nowhere I was doing cookery. I didn't want to be with all the boys. Couldn't paint to save my life. So I did child development. And you had to make things. So I sewed up a pair of dungarees. I made a book out of cloth, you know, with a shoelace and buttons and zippers. And I crocheted mittens and booties. Not crocheted, I knit. And then I got the bug and I started knitting jumpers for friends and for family and for me and for my husband. And then when my kids were born, I made them some beautiful blankets. And then I really wanted to learn to crochet. So I taught myself to crochet, subscribed to a magazine that taught you, and you did a square a month, and I've made myself a gorgeous blanket. And I thought, right, I've got this down, and I've done the things that you see. And those little monsters that are on the side of the chest, they're actually blankets. You unfold them, and it's a blanket, and you've got one of them's a dragon, because my great-nephew loves Zog the Dragon. So he's got hands, feet, tail, horn. The other one's a lion. I've done an elephant. I make toys. Baby grows. I stuff baby grows. I either make it for the girls into a baby with a head and hair. My great nephew, I made a dinosaur out of it. And he sits with it. They sit together and they watch the TV together. Some of it comes out of my head. Some of it I find a pattern. And I just love it. Just love it.
Okay, so I just have to say to our listeners, like, find Trudy on Facebook. What's your Facebook page for that?
Me. So my personal one is Trudy Malin, or the other one that's got my crochet, it's Trudy Tarot and Tricks, because I've changed the group. That's where I do my lives and I start to do my card pulls from, rather than, so I keep my page separate because not everybody wants to hear my lives and my card pulls. So
everybody wants to hear your lives. So I'm going to put that link in the show notes because I want everybody to be able to see it. But these things that she creates, like she said, some of them are like little dragons or different things. I had no idea that they were blankets, but they're amazing. These things are amazing. You have to look her up and find her things because they are adorable. The talent that is in this woman's hands is incredible. Okay, so let's talk about the crochet. So I know that you more recently, I mean, besides all the spirits that you talked to, it's been more recent that you started doing the Akashic Records. Is that right?
Yeah, literally. Tarot started, it's only been a year, but it's like when I was doing one of Joanna's classes. And with Skyline, I asked the question, they were like, yeah, this has been in your timeline for so long. And the Akashic, I've been drawn to that for so long. And it really kicked off when Joanna did her course and they needed case studies. And I put my hand up and Marie Ditu did my reading or took me to the record. And I literally got to the gates and I just said to her, oh, I'm sorry, there's a robin. I'm sorry, I'm a bit like a mag, you know, oh, it's a bit of stuff. The robins come really close in outside the summer house. Anyway, as I was the Akashic Records. And as I got to the library, I just looked and went, I've been here so many times. I know this place. And I'd been going there since I was about 3 or 4, but not realizing, because my guide is a lion. So as I go up to the Akashic Records, this lion gets up to greet me, and I'm 3, 4, and I just go, run. But every time my guide is like, yes, she's here, I've just turned tail and run, because I didn't understand what it was. And I had no one to talk to. And then she said to me, it's a dream, don't worry about it. Oh, just, you know, you're obviously overtired, overactive imagination. I was also a daydreamer, and I would go off there left, right and centre. So when she took me back, I was like, I know you, you're my guide. I know this place. It's so familiar. So I just thought, well, if I've been going here since I was little, that's got to mean something, because when I go into the library, I can see not just my records, I can see hundreds and thousands of record keepers. Because mine just gets, it's like the TARDIS, you go in and it just, everywhere you look, there's a room off a room off a room, and it gets bigger and bigger. And I can see everybody's, and I can see their books. Obviously, I can't read them because I haven't taken the person there. And I just thought, yeah, because I can see not just mine, because all of these I know aren't mine. There's too many. So I just thought, I've got to do this. And I say the first packet of tarot cards I picked up were the Akashic Record ones. I was like, well, there you go. So, and yeah, I've taken quite a few people. They're always gobsmacked. It's always different. And as I try to explain to them, it, every time you go, it's different. Different from mine, different from everybody's. You can ask the same question, but when you're ready, the likelihood is you'll get, they'll be along the similar vein, but they also might be completely different, because if you've taken it on board and you started to readjust your course, and you then go and ask the same question, because you've made those timeline adjustments, you'll get a slightly different answer that will change your timeline again. So it's an amazing place. And I pop myself there quite regularly when I want to think, well, I've got huge issues around money. So I pop myself off and I went, now I know, what can I do about it? And then you can ask, okay, I know now why. And I've seen how far it's come. And I've seen where it's come from. How do I change it? And then they can give you a perspective on how to change it. And again, it's different. So, but it's, oh, it's amazing. Now that I found it, I don't actually want to leave. I want to stay there. But God, I have to come back.
Why would I leave when this is so much fun? So
absolutely.
Just for the listeners who don't know, let's tell them a little bit about the Akashic Records. You can... with a guide like Trudy, a guide like Trudy who can take you there. If you do not know yourself how to do that,
how do we get there?
Yeah, you can go to past lives. You might see a past life. Tell them what
it's amazing. Basically, it's a guided meditation. It's really, really weird. It's like people say, but where is the Akashic Records? I'm like, in between. And so I was talking to my sister, it's like the cloud. Everybody knows and accepts the cloud. That's where you store everything. It's the same sort of principle. It's not heaven, it's not hell, but it's in between the realms. And so guided meditation, we get you there. You meet your guide and you can ask anything. Why do I have toxic relationships? Where did it start? And they'll take you back and show you where it started. And they'll do it in a way that you understand. And sometimes you don't. You're like, oh, I don't know. So that's when I say, what can you see? How are you feeling? Do you want to stay there? Do you need to move on? Ask your guide and give them prompts. Because I don't just dump them and then go, see you later when you're on the way out. Because it's a whole other realm. It's like being in a country and you haven't got a map. So, yeah, I take you, I guide you. What is it you want? Ask your guide. What is it you want to know? Where is it you need to go back to? Is it, and it's ancestral timeline. So not just your past life. It's if there's ancestral trauma, which we all know just gets bigger and bigger and rolls downhill. And then we repeat those patterns of behavior. So you can change patterns of behavior. Where has my money block come from? Where has my self-sabotage come from? How can I change it? I need some healing. I need to learn how to self-love. Why do I hate my anything? It doesn't just have to be the negative. Where has this urge for success come from? And you might find that maybe you are a king someday and you've brought his authority and his leadership and his bearing through the timelines, which is why people are drawn to you and where your charisma comes from, because we bring good as well as bad from our past. We tend to bring more of the icky stuff to heal it and to, oh, the big spider, to heal it and to move on and break those chains, that we don't pass it on to our children, who then, and so the ancestral timeline gets worse. You can ask good things, bad. You can ask how to change things. You can go for healing. My sister, she's lost her joy. She said, oh, I don't. I said, okay, you've just said it. We're going to go and reconnect with your joy. And she said, and I'm so sad I didn't actually video record it, because she just went, who needs LSD when you can go to the Akashic Records? And I was like, well, that's some sort of affirmation right there. And it's true, but that bliss, and that's where it becomes not addictive. That's where you have to find the balance, because the absolute gloriousness of healing those timelines and making yourself into the person you want to be, you're going to go, why do I need to go back when this place is absolutely amazing? So that's when we have to come out of our spiritual being and bring it into our humanness and let it shine and take it forward and let that bliss roll on. Because it's not, I want to keep it all to myself, but also I just want to spread it for everybody, and everyone pops themselves off. And it, you know, it's great. It's great. I mean, I've done a little bit of research, the people I've taken, the ones that I've done a three-step program. Let's go and meet your guides, and then, right, what do you want to heal? What do you want to know? And then shall we go for heal? Works better. They know what to expect. Whereas when you go in cold, there's that trepidation. So you don't really fully want to lean into it and take the responsibility of the knowledge that they're going to give you. And obviously I have a debrief. I don't just download this stuff, or you download the stuff and I go, see you later, mate. You know, I check in and go, how are you doing? Do you need to talk? So yeah, it's an ongoing process. And then I said to my sister, right, okay, how about we go for healing? She's like, you can do that. I went, well, I asked. And before I actually finished asking, they went, you know this. Yes. And so then we went to healing. She reconnected with her joy and she fucking don't want to come back. But they're very good at saying, okay, enough. You've had what you need. And they literally shove you out, shoving you out the door. You know, bye, see you in your boat and you come back. Which was, we were absolutely screeching with laughter. She's like, they're just pushing me out. I said, then you need to leave. You need to leave the temple and you need to leave your little spa bath and you need to go. They're pushing you out of the door. It's time to leave. So yeah, it's an amazing place, and just, yeah, it's amazing. My youngest daughter's had, they've all got identity issues, and lockdown has been very hard on our youngsters. And I said, okay, do you want to go? So I took Leonie, my youngest, and Leonie was like, oh my goodness. I didn't realize that I could be a better person. I know you keep telling me, Mum. But wow. And that was two visits. And the difference in my youngest is astounding, absolutely astounding. And I say to her daily, the change in you is amazing. I'm so proud of you that you went to the Akashic Records. Because she's the only 19 and it's scary. I'm going off to a magical place. One, she thinks she sounds bonkers. And two, Mum, we all know you're a little bit bonkers. And three, she's 19, peer pressure. So, yeah, if my 19-year-old can do it and come out the other side, you know, having a jig, great.
Well, and that's, I think, a big part of it, too, is to have someone like you who, you know, can go. I mean, obviously, I mean, you're not their guide, their spirit guide that they'll meet when they get there. You're not their Akashic Records guide, but you are a human guide who can help them go there and help them to interpret what they experience as well. Yeah. And I think that's a great level of comfort for people.
Yeah, it's an honor. It's a very big responsibility that I didn't truly understand how powerful it is. But yeah, because lots of people will read your records for you. I'm like, but that's open to your, my, that's open to my interpretation. I'm going to put my slant on it. Because, and that's the saying, you have to say it as you're given it. And we don't do that. We, you know, we, our imagination fills things up. And I'm thinking, well, then I go and I read your Akashic records. One, that's really, really personal to you. Two, I might put some of my mumbo jumbo on it. And then you're going to say, I don't understand that. So do you know what? I'm your bridge. I will take you there. I will hold the space for you and I will prompt you. I don't guide you. That's the job of your Akashic guide. And your record keeper holds your records. And I'll just say to you, do you not feel comfortable? Do you need to move on? Where are you being pulled to? No, I want to stay here. I want to look. I want to understand. That's fine. No, the space is safe for you. Because that's the other thing. It, when you come back, it's like your buffering is the only way I can explain it. There's a time lag. And you're like, you're a little bit woozy. You need a bit of a drink because you have. You've gone. You're physically here. You're straddling two dimensions. You're here and you're there. That when you come back, as I say, it's a bit like buffering. You need a couple of moments to take your water, get your head straight, and get back in your body. And when you feel that, then you realize, I have been somewhere and this stuff is real. It's not just somebody's decided to make it up in their head and come up with a bit of mumbo jumbo. So yeah, it's awe-inspiring. It's a massive responsibility. But geez, I'm so glad that I have woken up to this and that I can do this and take people. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm so glad that you have embraced it at the level that you have. It's incredible. Now, I want to ask you another question. Maybe our listeners are thinking also, since you do have so many spirits around you all the time, do you also do mediumship? Do you work with people that way?
No. See, I would love to do that. I would love to do that. But at the moment, it's not one of my gifts. It comes through when I do my tarot. I really get word vomit when I'm doing it. And I'm chatting and then I just look at the card and go, yeah, that's not for you. The meaning of it is blah blah blah, and it's word vomit. And some a couple times I've gone, that is so harsh. I'm sorry the way I've said it, because it's literally, and I'm trying to be nice, and then I just get it, and it goes, bleh. And then they look at me and they go, no, actually, that's how I needed to hear it. So yeah, intuitive tarot reading, it kind of comes through, but it's not mediumship. I would, my daughter can, she hears and she sees, and she'll come along and say, oh, mum, I think you need to do such and such. I'm like, okay, have you had a message? She goes, no, it's just, you know, I feel. So at the moment, that's not one of my gifts. Who knows? I would, oh, that is awesome. Truly awesome to be able to do that. And yeah, if that's one of the ones, are you listening, that you'd like to come along and awaken for me? Yeah, I'd love to do that. As many, I'm open for it. And I'm one of these people, my sister laughs at me and she's also in the summit. I jump in when I find something, I jump in with both feet because I'm just so excited. And I'm like, I'm going to learn on the way as I'm running with my knitting, my crochet, my tarot, and I'm just off and running because it's so exciting. If something that amazing is knocking on your door, why would you wait? Why would you? You're just going to jump in. Well, I do anyway. And run with it and just embrace it all. And yeah, just bring it on. I love it. But mediumship. Yeah, but not in that way. I don't.
Not yet. Anyway. Not yet. Well, and I think it's important what you said as far as like both with your tarot readings and with the Akashic Records, that you're only going to hear what you're ready. You're only going to get what you're ready for. There might be more information, but you're not going to get it maybe today. And, you know, I think sometimes people go into any kind of that spiritual reading, whether it's tarot or Akashics or even mediumship, thinking, you know, oh, good. Here's my opportunity to know, you know, to have somebody tell me exactly what to do or to hear, you know, grandma say, you know, whatever. And it's not always, it's not always what you expect it to be. It's what you're needing to hear, what you're ready to hear, what you're ready to see.
Absolutely. It doesn't, and I keep trying to explain to people, I don't, it doesn't work that way. Tarot is not predictive, and people really think it. I'm like, no, it's a tool to clear your mind, to understand a situation. It's not a tool to say, right, do I need to get divorced? Am I going to find the person of my dreams? Am I going to get, it doesn't work that way. It says, well, there is opportunities that are coming up for communication, for you to focus, whatever. It's a tool. And then if you change, the next time you have a reading, the reading will change. But people assume that you get the tarot cards out and you can say to them, like, tomorrow, Mr. Smith down the street is going to knock on your door and give you £1,000. No, it does not work that way. And it's the same with spirit. They will give you what you need to hear, not what you want to know. And sometimes that's really upsetting for the recipients, because they think, like, yeah, Granny's going to tell me she's left me the biggest ruby under her bed. Inside, she's burrowed, made up. No, Grandma's going to say your wealth is within you. But that's not what they want to hear. So you have to make that clear in a nice way that the answers may surprise you. It may not be what you expect. So you're not letting them down, but you need them to realise that it's not going to be what they expect. It really isn't. Even when I've taken myself off, it was not what I expected. I was like, right, okay, got it, thanks. Yeah, but I know what to expect. Managing people's expectations is difficult, and that comes with the responsibility of what you and I do.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like, if you are going to do any kind of this work with Trudy, you know, come with an open mind and come with a receiving heart to be, you know, ready for something that you might not expect. And also what comes into play is our humanness and our free will. Like, you know, even if it did work the way a lot of people think it works, you know, you change your mind and off you go in a different way. So,
yeah, it's not that it's reactive, because reactive makes me think of something that's slow to be forthcoming. It's like every day you go to the top of your road, you turn left, so you don't see the bus that comes. But if one day you've got to the top of the road and you turn right, you see a whole new perspective. It's the same sort of thing. If you narrow your vision, you're only going to see what's in your tunnel. If you open and say, okay, there are other possibilities, and if you're open to it, you're open to it, and you might hear what you want to hear. You might hear something even more surprising and even more amazing. So managing people's expectations is all part of the responsibility, as you know, as people in this field of work, in all the different magic makers, from mediums to tarot readers, and there's a whole mash in between, there is a responsibility to unpick the human narrow mind, because we are human. And when you step into magic, you realize what a small vessel we actually are, but the potential of this small vessel is mind-blowing if we are open to the possibility, as opposed to the narrative that's passed down from granny to mum to you to your grandchildren. You know, it's that veering off, taking the left turn, taking the right turn, or going straight ahead, changing it up, different possibilities come across. So yeah, it's humanist. We do love to limit ourselves and put ourselves in boxes, sadly.
Yeah, I agree with that. It reminds me, when you're talking about that, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Michael with John Travolta. And at the end, there, you know, he's saying, he's so doubting everything that happened to him. And he said, oh, sure, you know, if I believe that, then I'm going to walk out of this bar and turn to the right and then turn to the left. And there, the woman of my dreams will be, or whatever this, you know, whatever he says. Mm-hmm. And he walks out of the bar and he turned, you know, it basically kind of happens that way a little bit unexpectedly. But yeah, I mean, if you're open to it, if you're open to, like you said, open to receiving, open to seeing what the possibilities are, you know, mm-hmm. that you might not be aware of. And even just like asking for yourself sometimes, you know, to the universe or to your guides, hey, you know, I'm open to something new. I'm open to something amazing. And, Absolutely. You know, see what happens.
Because we like to be told what to do. And I don't know what's wrong with us humans. We just, I don't know, we're comforted with our smallness, I suppose, and yet also quite arrogant in our small-mindedness. It's a double-edged sword. You just don't know what's out there. And being open, and again, as humans, the thought of being open to receiving money, compliments, power, anything. Oh, you look beautiful. Oh, this old thing. Oh, I bought it 3 years ago in Tesco's. Oh, it's got a hole in it. Look, got a hole in it. We cannot just go, oh, I'll take that. Thanks, mate. We can't do it. We have to constantly justify what we're doing, why we're doing, and I've got to work harder. And my hamster wheel's got to be burning up with smoke if I want to get to this. But then you get there and then you don't enjoy it because then you're looking for the next big thing. We don't stop and smell the roses and enjoy, do you know what? Right now, I'm enjoying where I am. And in 5 years, I want a bigger house, or I want a super duper sports car, or actually I'm going to have a smaller house and have a massive car because I'll have no kids. We don't stop where we are and enjoy the work that it's taken and the collaboration that's taken your family to get where you are, and then go, yeah, I'm enjoying this. What's my new adventure? We just don't stop. And then, yeah, there was open to receiving. Receiving what? I'll only get what I work for. And it just, our mindsets are a bit twist. We haven't quite figured it out yet. And hopefully all these amazing magic makers that we've connected with in the summit and spreading it, that magic will keep rolling out what we need to do. And then everyone can tap into the magic and go, yeah, loving it.
That's I think this is so important too. I was just talking with somebody else this morning and we were talking about celebrating, you know, when you get to that next milestone, basically what you're saying, like, mm-hmm. you know, basking in that, number one, celebrating whatever you achieved. Yeah. Number two, basking in that for a moment, like whatever it is, like, if it's a new job that you love, it doesn't matter. A new child, it doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. You know, whatever you've achieved, celebrate it so you mm-hmm. acknowledge it. And then, yeah, like don't immediately go on to the next thing. Don't just say, okay, well, did that. Let's
run. We're at the end of that sentence, we're into that paragraph. No, let's go. Next. Yeah, and that's something I've learned being in Joanna's world. Celebrate the small steps, because when you celebrate the small steps, before you know it, you've made a giant leap. You don't make giant leaps without making the small steps. And I did. I was like, I don't get it, but that's where I want to be. So I was always looking forward, but I forgot that, yeah, you can't just leap. You have to do the small steps. Celebrate. I celebrate every time I get somebody new. As you know, for tarot readings, it's quite difficult to get them to be repeat business. But every time someone's contacted me, I'm like, there. Celebrate. Thanks, universe. Loving it. And then I take that joy. And then when I go and give them a reading, I'm so full up with enthusiasm and joy that their experience is an amazing reading. Whereas if I'm flat, like, I'm not sure. I know my reading is off. They still get a great reading, but I know it wasn't 100%. I can feel the ick that was underneath it because I was thinking, have I charged enough? Have I charged too little? Have I charged too much? Should I have charged? All that. And I was just like, I've got a client. They're willing to pay. So if they're willing to pay, I'm good. Get rid of that. Celebrate the joy. And then, yeah, the reading's great. I'm on a high when I come out. they're like, oh my God, that was amazing. Brilliant. Celebrate those little bits, because the more you celebrate that joy, the more joy you have, not just in another client, but in the fact that, oh, my washing has come out smelling nice and clean today. Because yesterday, I swear I couldn't smell it. You just suddenly find joy in places you didn't even think to look at it. And that in itself is amazing magic right there, without having to do anything.
Wise words.
Ooh.
Yeah. The wise Trudy. Well, let me know. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners today? If not, I think that is such a beautiful place, you know, such a beautiful thought to leave with everyone. But if you have something else, let me know.
Just this sort of collaboration, women with women, just is amazing. The people that can hold the space for women properly are women. Men do a great job. They're very black and white. They're very linear. Women are creative. Women are nurturing. And we need to nurture other women. Like you were doing the podcast with Isaiah and Chris doing the summit for the women. It's just, it's beautiful. And we're all celebrating each other's stories and the joys and the trials and the tribulations. And I just did my booklet. And we should be straightening each other's crowns with compassion and love, not going, see that bitch, whacking her crown off and making me feel better, because now you're no longer queen, but I am. But actually, we can all be queens. I can straighten your crown and you can straighten mine, and we can link arms, and there is no harm just both being amazing human beings. I don't have to tread on people to make myself feeling amazing, because I am amazing, and so is the woman next to me, so are you. We're all amazing, and we need to remind ourselves that we don't need to compete with each other. I can celebrate your joy and your amazingness without diminishing mine and without being jealous, because there's space for what we both do. And that's where the joy comes in. Yes, she's made it. She's done amazing. And then I can bask in your joy and your glory and your celebrating and feel good. And then that inspires me. I don't have to push you into the mud and get rid of you and go, that's all on me because I'm so amazing. Nah, we need to start really building each other up and being joyful for everybody's small wins and give them a big hug and say, yes, girls, you've got this. We don't. That's sad. That's really sad. We don't. We like to push each other out of the way and compete. We're not men. We don't need to compete.
This is so important. And this is really... the experience that I'm having with being part of Women Lighting the Way Summit is exactly that, is exactly what you're talking about. And mm-hmm. It's so amazing. And to be able, like you said, to witness each other's stories, to celebrate each other, to lift each other up, and to mm-hmm. Also, you know, have that ripple effect of that going out to everyone who's going to listen. And you're absolutely right. I hope that the tables are turning in that respect for women in general, where we can, like, why can't I be happy for what you are experiencing? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't take away from me, but it might not even be something that I would want to do.
Mm.
And I could say, look at Trudy. I mean, I don't love to crochet. I mean, I learned to crochet and knit a little bit when I was growing up. I cannot make the fabulous crochet. I can celebrate those. I can love them. I could be like, hey, how do I get one of those or whatever it is, you know, yeah. And we can. I love this. This is an important message that, like you said, we can straighten each other's crowns. We can go, oh, come here, let me just get that for you.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the amazing artistry you do, and you showed us around your studio, and I was like, and I was so in awe, and I'm like, I wish I could do that, but I know I can't. Instead of going and being all mingy about it, I was like, man, this woman is amazing. Look at the talent, and look at the diversity. And I was just so in awe. And yes, I would love to be able to paint like that, but actually, No, I won't, because I love what I do. And yeah, the painting, I get bored. I start and I get totally bored. Whereas when I'm creating something out of wool, just lights me up. As you were just saying, yeah, you learn, but it's not your thing. And I can admire and stand there and go, God, that's amazing what you're doing, without being jealous and without trying to be you. Because you do you and I do me. And that's what makes the world go around. It's brilliant. But we can stay in the same orbit and still be so proud of each other without, yeah. And coming into a community like this, it's amazing. Absolutely, truly amazing. And Chris and Isaiah holding that space for us to do that. What a collaboration.
Yeah. Yeah. The magic, for sure.
For sure.
So anyway, yeah, that is a beautiful message. Let's lift each other up and support each other. I'm going to put your links again. I'm going to put your links in the show notes. But are you on Instagram or just Facebook?
No, just Facebook. I've got there is an Instagram one that's my name, but I don't. When I post, I think it automatically goes over there. I'm not 100% sure. I'm a little bit of a technophobe. I can do Facebook. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I do Twitter. I tried. I got confused. I play to my strengths. I know how Facebook works. So, yeah, it was Cuddle Buddies. So if you go in and you see the link says Cuddle Buddies, that's what it was, because that was my creation. And I just changed the group because my focus, my creations of crocheting anything are my place of love and giving. That's what I give away to my friends, to my family, or let me just knock you up something. And my tarot is what I do and it's who I am. So I changed it, and it's Trudy's Tarot and Tricks. My daughter came up with that tongue twister for me, and that's where the lives are, started my card pulls and that sort of stuff. And then just me, Trudy Maylin, my own personal page.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, again, thank you so much. I absolutely enjoyed our talk today. This is how it works. If for someone who I have never met in person, who I've really more recently connected, even though we've been in orbits together, I just love you. And I'm so grateful for you joining me today. And thank you so much.
Thank you. It's just, connecting. This connecting is brilliant, beautiful. And thanks to technology that we all personally scream at, but technology has made the world a small place.
Yes, it has. And I'm grateful to be able to connect with so many amazing people because of it. So I just want to thank our listeners today. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed meeting Trudy and listening to her stories and her A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to My Life adventures.
Thank you, Laura, and see you soon.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to My Life podcast. For more information, visit my website at www.lauramuirhead.com.